Peter finishes up his writing in 1 Peter today by tackling one of the last questions. In light of all that has been discussed now, he asks this: how do you live a significant life? I mean, you know, the kind of significant life that God actually wants you to live. And I say it that way because I've always wanted to do something significant and important with my life, right? And I think I used to think that somehow I was the only one that ever felt that way. But, you know, then I started talking with other people and I found out pretty quickly that pretty much everybody wants to live a significant life. But even more important than that, I think that God wants us to live a significant life, and he's willing to show us how, and I love that. And so Peter, at the end of his book, in just a few short verses, sort of distills a lot of what he learned on how to live a significant life from Jesus Christ. And he says, here's what I learned from him about significance and how it can happen in your life too. He says there's two things, in essence, that can improve your serve, if you notice the title of the service, right? Improve your significance, in other words, in this life. And one of the first one is this: in order to improve your serve, start serving, right? That's what Matthew 23:11 says. To be the greatest, Jesus says, he says, be a servant. And that's pretty simple, isn't it? Simple, clear, to the point, to be honest. If I'm going to be the greatest, I've got to be a servant, Jesus says. And so if you really want to have a significant life, one of the questions you're going to have to ask yourself along the way is this: where can my life have the most impact right now? How can I best use my time right now? Jesus said to be the greatest, be a servant. The best and greatest impact that any person could possibly have in this life is impacting another person's life. Even the greatest buildings and the greatest bridges are someday going to be crumbling to the ground, but people last forever. And so again, Jesus said the greatest way to impact another person is by serving. And I think this fits into every situation of our lives, to be honest. Moms and dads, if you want to be the greatest mom and dad in the world, you've got to be a servant to your kids. Bosses and managers, you want to be the greatest boss, you've got to be a servant. You young adults looking forward to a life thinking, man, I want to have a great impact on this world today. Jesus Christ says, be a servant. Because that's where significance is really found in life. If you want to be a great Christian, you got to be a great servant. If you want to be making an amazing impact, right, a significant impact on the world, Jesus Christ says the secret is the service thing. And so in the first part of 1 Peter 5, he just talks about this. And he talks to some of the people who were servants of the church of that day, and he gives them this advice about serving, advice that he had learned from Jesus when he was with him. It is great advice for anyone who is seeking to influence others with their lives today. And he essentially says this to them: when you're trying to influence other people, here's what works and here's what does not work. Here's where to spend your time and here's where to not spend your time. And one of the first things he says is choose desire over duty. What does he mean by that? Well, Peter wrote to the leaders of the day and he said, serve not because you must, but because you're willing. As God wants you to be willing. See, duty doesn't work to impact other people, but desire does. A willingness does. And so if we want to have a significant impact on the people around us, we have to change all of those shoulds we have in our lives to wants. Four words that will never change the world. If I have to, right? I'll do it if I have to. No. It takes desire to change the world. Can you imagine Columbus, right? Talking to the Queen of Spain, who's just saying, hey, I want you to go to the other side of the world. I want you to find this new country or a way to China or something like that. And Columbus saying to her, I'll go if I have to, right? Or Neil Armstrong getting ready to step out on the moon. And he calls back to Mission Control and he says, do I have to? It would have never happened. Or how about David and Goliath? Imagine David looking at the great Goliath, fighting him and defeating him. If he had gone into that whole battle with I have to kind of attitude. See, it's desire, right, that makes the difference in life. The ability to say, I have a willingness to do this. I want to do this. If I have to, man, that can be a very dangerous way of thinking. He goes on. He says, I say this because some of you are feeling very trapped, I'm sure, by life and all the have-tos in your life. Most of your life right now maybe is just duty. I have to do this and I have to do that. Maybe you're a single parent and everything in your life seems to be duty right now and responsibility, and there's not any time for you. Or maybe the pressures of keeping your marriage alive or keeping a business afloat has turned everything in your life into a responsibility. But it's wearing you down, isn't it? Many times when we get into those situations in life, the only way out seems to be a change of circumstances. But let me give you a different option today. Instead of changing the circumstances, let me just give you this option, the possibility of changing instead your heart, changing all those duties, all those responsibilities in life into opportunities. Changing your heart, Peter says, that's the key. A second encouragement Peter gives us in chapter 5 is this. He gives this choice of giving over getting. In 1 Peter 2, he says, don't be greedy for money, right? But be eager to serve, he says. To paraphrase John Kennedy, he said, ask not what I can get, but what I can give. Are we more naturally interested in getting or giving, do you think, today? Getting, no question. But giving has a power that we don't recognize sometimes. Getting sometimes seems like the answer, the only answer. It can seem so important to us, but Peter reminds us here that you don't make a lasting impact by what you make. You make a lasting impact by what you give in life. We tend to equate having money, I think, with having influence today. Psalm 112, verse 9, though, says this, he gives generously to those in need. His deeds will never be forgotten. He shall have influence and honor. The psalmist just writes that influence comes from our giving. Don't forget the powerful influence, the different influence that giving has. It has this influence that just seems to last in life. It's not temporary. It's influence that comes along with honor. Let me ask you this question. Is having money the problem, do you think, today? No. You can use money to give to other people, for example. It's greed that's the problem. Don't be greedy for money. That's what Peter's saying. It's this unquenchable desire to get more and more and more. That's the problem. Greed keeps you from being satisfied with what you have. You're always reaching for more, always wanting more, like the monkey in a tree, always reaching for the bigger banana until eventually he kind of falls out of the tree. But money can be very deceiving in the same way. It looks like you're making an impact, but all you're really doing is building a bank account. So I encourage you, Peter encourages you, don't confuse influence with income. They're entirely different things. Peter says, instead of focusing on that, be eager to serve. Be chomping at the bit to make a difference in other people's life. Giving through serving is what it's all about, Peter says. And then he says this, choose being an example over being in control. How many control enthusiasts are watching today? A bunch, right? So hear this again. Choose being an example over being in control. What do I mean by that? Well, don't be like a ruler ordering people around all the time. Don't be like a ruler over over the people that you're responsible for. But be a good example to them. You don't make a lasting impact by telling people what to do. I wish you did. It's just not the way it happens. You make a lasting impact by showing people how to do it. Would you agree, for example, that the world certainly doesn't probably need more people to tell us what to do in life or what we should do in life? It seems like there's plenty of those people out there. It just needs more people to show us how to do it. That's what we need. And so don't be a ruler over people. Be good examples for people. Because the measure of my influence and your influence is not how many people are under you in some organizational chart. The measure of our influence is how many people are behind you right now, following you, your steps, your example. See, the power to make a real difference in life is not in your words, not in ordering people around. It's in the way you live your life. It's in the example. Somebody said this about kids. They get more of what's caught and not what's taught. In other words, they spend all this time with you. They see what's really important to you. They see how you act, and they model themselves off of that. Not what you tell them they should do, but they catch always what you do. Made it funny. Suppose you had a meeting at your company, and everybody knows that things have been tight lately, right? Everybody's stressing out. The boss makes this impassioned speech and about the need to cut back, and everybody's going to have to sacrifice a little bit. It's a tremendous speech, actually. People are crying. I mean, everybody's motivated. The whole company begins to pull together. the end of the speech, though, the boss says, hey, I'm so committed to helping you with this that I'm gonna give you my personal phone number. And I want any one of you to call me anytime that you're having a struggle. I just do. But if you could, just not for the next 20 days or so, because I'm going to be on a vacation in Bermuda, so that would kind of be awkward. Now, what would you remember from his speech? His words or his example? You can say, do as I say, not as I do, as many times as you want. But guess what they're going to do? They're going to do as you do. Our example is what has the power. The word example, actually, that it's used in this text originally comes from the idea of a die or a stamp in the Greek. It's something that you would use, I guess, to make an impression on something to match, you know, the original. So, do you want to leave a mark on this world? Your example is what's going to leave that mark. Do you want to be a great dad or a great mom? Then be a great example. Do you want to be a great boss? Be a great example. Do you want to be a great Christian? Man, be an example. That's where I want to be. But honestly, I'm telling you, there's a big gap sometimes between where I'm living and where I'm serving. So then Peter goes on and helps us make this next connection, right? To help us understand how we can start to close this gap between where we are and where God wants us to be. So the second big thing that Peter says is just this: stay humble. He says it this way: God gives special blessings to those who are humble, but sets himself against those who are proud. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I want you to note the words he and in due time. See, humility says, God, I'm depending on you. I need you in my life. It says, if you're humble like that, right, and you can humble yourselves like that, he will absolutely lift you up. You see, significance will come into your life because he'll lift you up from wherever you are. He's the one that does the lifting. It's his plan. The words, in due time, I love those too. Now, to be honest, I'd rather have him lift me up in my time. That's always my preference. But it says, in due time, which is his time. And in his time is always the right time. But it says, in that time, God will lift me up to a place of significance. So if I'm going to get on a jet and to fly somewhere, I've got to stay on the jet until I get to where I'm going. It just makes sense, right? But when it comes to this depending on God thing and being humble in our kind of everyday kind of way, living with a constant attitude of humility, I think we just struggle with that a little bit. Usually we're only humble when we're desperate. That's just honest, right? We've tried everything else and nothing's working, so we cry out to God like it's the Hail Mary and say, God, I'm desperate. I'm on my knees before you. Help me, help me, help me, help me. And he helps us. But it's kind of like we're getting on the jet and we take off, right? And we get pretty good altitude, and we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, about how the trip's going. And all of a sudden we think that maybe we can handle it on our own, right? The trip's going so amazing. We're going to be there shortly. I could probably do this myself. So we pop open the hood of the jet and step outside, feeling like God's got me up to this speed, and I'll just keep on flying, keep on going myself. But what happens when we get out? We drop like a rock. And then we wonder what happened. God, why did you let me down? God's saying, stay in the jet. Keep trusting me. Keep going with me on this. I've got you. Live in this attitude of humility. And it says, God will lift you up. Jesus came to offer this most amazing gift of life, didn't he? And he said to everyone who would listen, he says, follow me and I will give you acceptance and I will give you value. I'll give you forgiveness that will wipe away your past and cleanse you from the inside out. I will actually reconcile you with my Father in heaven who has been angry with you. But through my blood, he says, he will now call you his children and love you as perfect. Jesus is just saying, I've not come to beat you down, guys, but to give you life and life to the fullest. And so he just says, follow me. Peter then tells us this morning that this is how we do this, with your service and humility. He says, this is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it means to be his disciple. This is what it looks like to live with significance. It's how, he says, that we can improve our serve. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we just thank you for Jesus so much. We thank you that you pursue us with your love, even when we're being stubborn, or even when we're being arrogant, or even when we're being foolish. You continue to pursue us with your love, reminding us that you're there, calling us to repentance, that we would just put down our sin and run back to you. But you're always there to run back to. You're always ready to wrap us up with your arms of love. You're always ready to forgive, to strengthen, to renew, to give us a new start, a new beginning. God, for that we are eternally thankful. So we just pray in the midst of where we are right now, help us improve our serve. Help us get the focus so off of our belly buttons, right? And on the people you so graciously put in our life. How can we make a difference in their life? And then give us this attitude of humility, realizing that that's why we're here, to serve them. And that's how you're using us. That's how you're making a difference with our life. With people, hopefully, that will one day be with you and be with us forever in heaven. Father, be with us today. Be with us all summer. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.